We were in evangelism for some 16 years, and usually everywhere that we went, we sang songs and I preached. There was a time when Elena was sick and she was not going to be able to come with us or with me to a couple of meetings. And I called the pastor and I said, well, Elena is sick, but I sure would love to come and be with you. You know what they did? They canceled me. When you called to invite me to the bio conference, the first thing was, could you do the music? And then all of a sudden someone said on the phone, and we would like you to preach. Thank you. We have had an opportunity to reunite with some folks we've not seen in a while, Brother Barry Rumsey and Brother David Cross, Brother Keene, and others. And we're so very, very honored to be here today, Brother Vic and Brother Garvin. Thank you for inviting us to come. There was a conference at First Baptist in Milford, Ohio, that I remember distinctly, Brother Keene. And you took me out for lunch. You had to go get something. Do you remember? I don't know if you do or not. You invited me to come, and I went with you. And on the journey, I said to Brother Keene, a particular message I thought was the best. He turned to me and he said, all of them were the best. And I'll never forget that. All of the messages that I have heard in this bio conference have been great. Amen? And I thank the Lord for all of the preachers that have stirred us through this conference. Let me share something with you. And I have chosen a subject today that I really battled over because I really have a difficulty in preaching about the Holy Spirit. There's so much more to learn about the Holy Spirit, and it's so difficult. But I decided to speak on the subject of being led by the Holy Spirit. And I have not heard a message devoted to the Holy Spirit as far as missions. And folks, we can't do anything unless we go through it through the power of the Holy Spirit. Until we have the anointing of God's Holy Spirit upon our messages, our traveling, our ministries. And so I want to share with you a message today on the Holy Spirit. I was reading in a book one time about hermit crabs. They're a curious little creature because they sometimes are called robber crabs. They don't have a hard shell. They're a soft armor, and they must survive by borrowing the empty shells of dead mollusks. In other words, they find a dead shell, and they will inhabit it. They will go into that shell as a protective home. But these shells don't provide protection from all predators because an octopus can reach in and pull that hermit crab right out of that shell. But God has given a few species of hermit crabs an amazing defense. These clever hermit crabs attach sea anemones, which are poisonous, to their shells, forming a symbiotic relationship. And the crab benefits from the potent dioxin of the sea anemone as a predator deterrent, and the sea anemone feeds on food fragments from the crab that the crab eats. Now, when I thought about that in the Holy Spirit, I realized that the Bible teaches us about another symbiotic relationship between the Spirit and the Word of God. And when we read the Bible with the help of the Holy Spirit, we are led into truth that is life-changing. Jesus once explained to the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well that God is Spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth, John 4:24. Both are harmoniously at work in the heart of true believers. And together they bring us into a saving relationship with Christ that no enemy can break apart. Ian Pitt Watson said this. He told the truth to his congregation. He said, because I'm leaving on Tuesday for Korea, I am not as well prepared as I ought to be. And I am reminded of the pastor who thought when he had difficulty preparing a particular sermon, perhaps the Holy Spirit will tell me what to say on Sunday morning. And this thought returned to him several times during the week. And when at last he stood silently before the congregation, he turned to the Holy Spirit for guidance, and a celestial voice said to him, "Tell the people you're unprepared." And so when I asked to be a speaker for this conference, I felt honored, and I still do, but I'm truly humbled to be asked to preach the Word to you, but the leading of the Holy Spirit. Listen, that's a tough subject. That's a tough assignment. I could do a better job on another subject like heaven or edification or salvation or revival or another subject that I could choose. Secondly, I hope I do a good job. That came through my mind immediately. I hope I'll impress the men with my message. Those two thoughts were all about me. What can I do to impress others? And that is the issue I have battled a good portion of my ministry. I suspect many of us struggle with being led by the Holy Spirit. Is it all about me or all about Jesus? Is it the flesh or the spirit that controls our services, our lives, our ministries for Jesus? Is it fooling ourselves that we are truly giving honor and glory to Jesus Christ, being led by the Holy Spirit because of a position that we hold? A pastor, a deacon, a Sunday school teacher, an evangelist, a men's ministry director, a missionary. You see, I've fought that battle all my ministry. And I'm trying to pour out my heart to you. I'm not being unprepared, but over-preparing. And consequently, preaching and teaching what John Allen wants, yes, still the truth, but not what the Holy Spirit ordered. And the result, I've experienced three distinct burnouts in my 43 and a half years of full-time ministry. My dad fell into a caustic acid tank at Pontiac Motors, where he was an electrician. He lived 6 weeks in the burn center in Ann Arbor, Michigan. I was just a young youth pastor at North Perry Baptist Church. I would go up and visit him every day, burned most over all of his body. He said very little to me in those 6 weeks, but one thing he did say is I was complaining about a youth outing and I was just very tired and exhausted, and he looked up at me and he said, "John, work 24 hours for Jesus." Well, that sounds good. And we want to be that person that God can call on at any hour of the 24. Amen? But it really did not help me. About 10 years ago, I distinctly remembered figuring something out. I was serving Jesus too much in the flesh and not being led by the Holy Spirit of God. It's that simple. God was all the time blessing His message, but not His messenger. And I'm saying to these missionaries, and I'm saying to pastors, yes, we need to work for the Lord, but we need to realize that the Holy Spirit needs to lead us what to do, when to do it, and how long to do it. Adrian Rogers described me perfectly when he wrote this. "Many Christians don't understand that when they got saved, God put an engine in their salvation. I don't mean to speak disrespectfully about the Holy Spirit by calling Him an engine, but He is the power of our Christian life and service. Many people are somewhat proud of their Christianity, but it's almost a burden to them. Rather than it carrying them, they are pushing it. And they have not made the discovery of the wonderful Spirit-filled life." Ephesians 5:18 says, "is a command of God," and it says, "and do not be drunk with wine, which will ruin you, but be filled with the Spirit." And he went on to say this, "Far more harm is done in our churches, in our ministries, by people, including pastors, and I'll add missionaries, who are not Spirit-filled, than by people who are drunks." You see, this command is not just for full-time Christian workers, Sunday school superintendents, missionaries, evangelists. It is for every person who is a child of God. And the point I'm trying to make is John Allen is not, and you are not, the right fuel to serve God. The Holy Spirit is. Now in Luke chapter 3, verse 21 and 22, let me share these verses. The Bible says, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love, with you I am well pleased." You know, it is highly significant that our Lord, though he was God, did not work until he had been anointed with the Holy Spirit. And in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, the Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Pastor was looking for his notes that he desperately needed for a presentation. He looked everywhere multiple times in an effort to recover the lost material. He asked around in his office, checked in his car, retraced his steps. He gradually progressed from a random search, looking any and everywhere, to an organized search, taking each room one at a time, area by area, exhausted. He grabbed his keys, headed to his car, made his way to the service at which he was expected. And when it was time for him to speak, he ushered up a quick prayer, asked the Lord to give him something to say. He stood at the platform, opened his Bible to the passage he wanted to talk from, and there were his notes. He had been killing himself to locate something he already had. And one of the most frustrating things, and I find this true in my life, to do is to search for something you already have. As believers, the help we need, we already have. That's the Holy Spirit of God and the fruit of His Spirit. Now, I cannot do anything for God that will not burn up as wood, hay, and stubble without doing it through the power and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Listen, I'm not an expert on the Holy Spirit. His ways are broader. His ways are higher. His ways are deeper than I'll ever imagine. But I am an expert on sin and the flesh. See, my flesh cannot sustain, as God desires, loving Him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. My flesh cannot sustain, as God desires, unquestioned obedience, love for my neighbor as myself, and unwavering testimony for Jesus Christ. Dutiful preaching, teaching, singing Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. My flesh, your flesh cannot sustain as God desires a totally devoted passion for Jesus Christ. Powerful, Spirit-filled prayer and fasting. My flesh cannot sustain as God desires a constant burden for the lost. A praise that God can inhabit. Worshiping in spirit and truth and not neglecting to come to church. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 through 26. I'd like to read this portion of Scripture. We'll begin at verse 13. We'll read on through verse 26. Verses I know you're quite familiar with. The Bible says in verse 13 of Galatians chapter 5, "For brethren, you have not been called unto liberty only. Use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. And now that the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you, before as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. M.R. DeHaan, while we teach that a believer should serve God perfectly out of a heart of love and gratitude, it is an indisputable fact that many Christians are not living Holy Spirit-led lives. And we too often fall short of God's perfect will. There is not a person who at the end of one day can honestly say, this day I have lived a perfect holy life in thought, word, and deed. Everyone who knows his own heart will confess that in his holiest endeavors, he still comes short. You know, for this, forgiveness is provided. Aren't you glad about that? 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And for this, strength is promised. Galatians 5:14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. However, instead of the strength of love, the next verse, verse 15, is too often true. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. The answer, I believe, is in verse 16. This I say, then walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Of course, verse 17 and 18 give us the fruit of the Spirit. Two words, works and fruit. Works of the flesh, fruit of the Spirit. Works speak of effort, mechanics, toil, labor. Works result in weariness. Works result in faintness and often frustration. And it is accompanied by much, listen, fleshly effort and much display in noise. But verse 22 and 23 talk about a fruit. On the other hand, is the result of just receiving, just yielding, just accepting. It means having no confidence in the flesh, but a surrender to the will of God. Of course, these are fruits, not fruit. Or these are not fruits individually, but one fruit. The fruit, works of the flesh are plural, 17 of them. But the fruit of the Spirit is singular, consists of three groups of virtues. There's that personal fruit, love, joy, and peace. There's that outreaching fruit to others. There's that upreaching fruit toward God, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. 9 parts of one fruit. It covers our complete responsibility toward God as a missionary, as pastors, as children of God. One fellow man and others, it covers the whole ground of the law. It simply says in verse 25, let us be faithful. Keep in step with the Spirit. Now please follow me. I'm looking at the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. I notice that of the 9 parts of the one fruit, one struck me as being applicable, being foundational for all the other 8. That's how I'm seeing it. And that was faithfulness, faithful joy, faithful patience, faithful peace, faithful kindness, faithful goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and faithful self-control. In other words, for me, faithfulness is necessary to possess and perform in our lives the leading of the Holy Spirit. Unfaithfulness in all of these areas in some diminished of power. The value of effectiveness of the Holy Spirit's leading in your life. Listen, I hate it, and I did when I pastored for some 16, really almost 20 years. It drives me crazy when people promise to come through and they don't. They come up and say, well, I didn't have time. but never let you know about it. I can't stand it when people say, count on me, count me in, but when the chips are down, they say, count me out. Have you experienced that? Solomon said in Proverbs 26, but a faithful man, who can find? You see, he's describing a person who is undependable, disloyal, inconsistent, and not true to his own word, God's word. In other words, unfaithful. A person spiritually void of the Holy Spirit power that fuels faithfulness. Unfaithfulness is not only distasteful, but it is a disease. Running rampant in our culture. It's running rampant in our churches. It's running rampant in our ministries. Listen, we live in an easy come and an easy go age. We dispose of diapers and razors and rules. We dispose of relationships. We dispose of responsibilities, even religion. Whatever happened to faithfulness, to trust, to commitment, and to integrity. Over 3,000 years ago, Solomon said, a faithful man who can find. Some things just don't change. Amen? Over time. It's getting tougher and tougher to hold up examples of couples who have been happily married for 30 or 40 years. We don't often hear any more about friendships that last a span of life, lifetime. Vance Havner said on faithfulness, God is faithful and He expects His people to be faithful. God's Word speaks of faithful servants, faithful in a few things, faithful in the least, faithful in the Lord, faithful ministers, and all points up that day when He will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. What terrible times we have in our churches trying to keep people faithful in attendance and loyalty. How we reward and picnic and coax and tantalize church members into doing things they don't want to do, but which they would do if they loved God. The only service that counts is faithful service. True faith shows up in faithfulness. And not everyone can sing or preach, but all can be faithful. What is faithfulness? Well, in the Greek, it's pistis, means fidelity. It means trustworthiness. It is characteristic of the person who is reliable. In this message context now, being led by the Holy Spirit. In other words, faithfulness is not just promising to try and be faithful, but saying, I will be faithful to God. I will, I won't just try, I will be faithful, and it's settled. Peter had not settled that yet. I believe that's why Jesus, as He called those fishermen from fishing and leaving their ministries, and He distinctly stood before Peter and He said, do you love Me more than these? Asked him three times. Because Peter was not faithful. So what is faithfulness? Faithfulness led by the Holy Spirit means you stick to your commitment after the shine wears off. Listen, this conference is wonderful, but these missionaries are going to go out and they're going to go into the back deep woods in the forest. They're going to go to difficult environments. This is nice, but that's not how it's going to be in some of our ministries in missionary work. Faithfulness led by the Holy Spirit means you keep your word even though complications arise and promise keeping costs you more than you thought it would. Faithfulness led by the Holy Spirit means you keep saying no 1,000 times if you must to the temptation of cutting a corner and taking the easy way out. I have 2 grandchildren. I'll be turning 68. My oldest daughter, I was 33 when she was born. She's 34 now, and my younger daughter is 31. Amanda, the oldest, Holly Jo, the youngest. She now has 2 children. Both of them have cystic fibrosis. Years ago, it was a death penalty. You didn't hardly live until you would go to school as a kindergarten. But now they've made very good strides with enzymes and everything, but she has to be very, very careful. Madeline's 2.5 years old. Derek is 3 months old. Madeline is Joy, and so is Derek. But Madeline and Derek are confined to stay in the house as much as possible from September through March. They can't go anywhere. Can't go to church. They can't come and visit your house. They can't do this. They have to stay home. Now, they do can come to our house every so often, but when they do, we have to sanitize everything. My Holly Jo sent a little picture over the computer of Madeline sitting at her little desk, and she wanted to go outside. And she couldn't. And my Holly Jo said, "No, no, you can't. You can't go outside." And she said, "Oh, outside?" Holly said, "No." "Outside?" "No." She said, "No, outside?" "Yes." "I okay." That's what she said. Faithfulness means you keep saying no to sin. Amen. Faithfulness means you keep saying no to what you ought not be doing when you know you should be doing that. Faithfulness means you keep saying to that temptation, no matter what it is, in the home, in the church, on the mission field, 1,000 times if you must, to the temptation of cutting a corner and taking the easy way out. Faithfulness led by the Holy Spirit means you keep working through relational problems rather than disposing of the relationship like yesterday's trash. Faithfulness led by the Holy Spirit means you see a project through to the bitter end. Faithfulness led by the Holy Spirit means you refuse to jump ship even when the waves of adversity are splashing over the decks of your marriage, your relationship with your children, your vocation, your ministry, your relationship with others. Listen, just ask my wife. There have been times when it's gotten very difficult in the ministry. On the road, 16 years, in a motorhome with 2 children. Oh, listen, we got at each other numerous times. She's hard to get along with. She's hard to live with. The pressure of ministry. Listen, I'm not telling you anything that you don't know. Every Sunday, you get that feeling in the pit of your stomach. It starts probably Friday or Saturday. You probably already have your message, but do you really sleep on Saturday? I mean, a really sound sleep? How many have ever had a truly sound sleep through Saturday knowing you're going to preach on Sunday? Faithfulness led by the Holy Spirit means you stay true to your relationship with Jesus Christ no matter what it costs you. In the words of the Marine motto, Semper Fi, faithful for what? Forever. The Apostle Peter quit on the Lord. He denied Jesus 3 times. He quit his ministry. Faithfulness is not quitting. If what you're doing for God is a job, then it is not a ministry fueled by the Holy Spirit. And one day, when it gets tough going, you will quit like Peter. A job is different than a ministry fueled by faith in God. Jesus said to Peter, "Do you love me more than these? If you truly love me, you will be faithful to carry out your master's business, his love and his salvation." Listen. And I know we have individuals that go to churches here in the States. If teaching Sunday school is just a job, it is not a ministry filled by the Holy Spirit. If singing in the church is just a job, it's not fueled by the Holy Spirit. If praying or giving or attending church or loving others is just a job, then you're not filled with the Holy Spirit faithfulness that the Bible talks about. Your reward will only be here on earth. You will not hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Senator Mark Hatfield, years ago, while visiting Mother Teresa in Calcutta, asked, "How can you bear the load without being crushed by it?" She replied, "My dear Senator, I'm not called to be successful. I've been called to be faithful." You see, If you're doing it because no one else will, it's a job. If you're doing it to serve the Lord, it's a ministry fueled by the Holy Spirit faithfulness. If you're doing well enough to get by, it's a job. If you're doing it to the best of your ability, it's a ministry fueled by the Holy Spirit's faithfulness. If you'll do it only so long as it doesn't interfere with activities, it's a job. If you're committed to staying with it, even when it means letting go of other things, it's a ministry fueled by Holy Spirit faithfulness. If you quit because no one praises you or thanks you, you're just a job. If you stay with it, even when no one seems to notice, it's a ministry fueled by God's Holy Spirit. The point I'm trying to make is if God calls you to ministry, for heaven's sake, listen, folks, don't treat it like a job. If you have a job in a church, give it up. Find a ministry. God doesn't want us feeling stuck with a job, but excited, fulfilled, faithful to Him in a specific ministry, led, fueled, and empowered by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to close with these thoughts. As followers of Jesus Christ, we should be as good as our word. Amen. Kind of faithfulness should be not seen as exceptional behavior or because we think we're super saints. It is simply the way God calls us to live our faith. Faithfully through the power and the leading of the Holy Spirit. See, one of the most identifiable themes in the book of Psalms is God's faithfulness and mercy. Listen to these verses in Psalm 89. Verse 1, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Verse 2, for I have said mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shall thou establish in the very heavens. Verse 5, and the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. Verse 8, Lord God of hosts, who is the strong Lord, like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee. Verse 24, but my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. Verse 28, my mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. And then lastly in verse 33, nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. When you realize how faithful God has been to you and how important it is for you to possess this part of the fruit of the Spirit, I believe you'll discover every area of your life changing in your desire to be faithful. You'll find yourself having a desire to be more faithful to your wife. God will also challenge you to be a man or a woman of your word to your children. And faithfulness will also have applications in the workplace. In other words, I'll have it for you by Monday. I'll get it right away. I'll see to it personally. The check's in the mail. In other words, you can no longer say one thing and do another. I'm going to close with something that Bill Hybels said, but I really do like it. He said, God has always dealt truthfully with you. He has never told you a lie. He isn't going to today. He never will in the future. He says, if you trust me, I'll forgive your sins. If you trust me, I'll work in your life. He says, if you trust me, I'll take you home to heaven. What we need to do is deal truthfully with God. Don't tell him that you love him on Sunday if you're going to curse him on Monday. Don't make a promise that you're going to obey him when you know you won't. Don't tell him that you're going to go his way and carrying out his calling and advance his purposes when you're making preparations to go your own way. God has been faithful to you. So faithful to him, be faithful to him and show his faithfulness to others. And how will you do this? With the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit filling and leading your life, there is no other way. Father, thank you for the opportunity to stand before these folks. I pray, Father, that you fill each of us with the power of your Holy Spirit, so that we might do miraculous things and give you the honor and the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray.